What's up, guys? I'm Jared Lopes, and you're listening to the Dad Tired Podcast, where I'm helping everyday families learn how to follow Jesus in everyday life. What's going on, guys? Jared Lopes here, back with you on the Dad Tired Podcast. Good to be with you again. As always, this episode is sponsored by Audible, which allows you to get a free book by going to dadtired.com/audible. There are over 100,000 books to choose from. If you don't like the one you pick, they say that you can return it and get a new one. If you don't like Audible in general after your trial with them, that's okay too. They say that you can keep the book that you got and cancel your membership at any time. Anyway, dadtired.com/audible. Also want to let you know, if you're listening to us for the first time, the best way to get connected with a bunch of other guys who are taking their faith and family and marriage serious is by going to Facebook and searching for the closed Dad Tired group. You can also find that on dadtired.com by clicking on the community tab. I've told you guys, we're stepping up the podcast in some really serious ways. Not because I'm getting any better or cooler, but because I'm bringing on people who are better and cooler. And today is no exception. I've got my good friend, Chris Nye. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah. Are you dad tired?
No.
You're not.
No, I'm not. And this is why I feel a little awkward here, because I don't have children.
Well.
But I hope I have something to say.
You'll have a lot to say. And the thing is, we have a lot of husbands on Dad Tired who don't have kids, so you're not alone.
Oh, that's good.
And that, and we also have women, which, can you relate to that?
Yeah, I maybe.
Graphic. Chris is a good friend of mine, but he's also a pastor. He's a writer. He's a teacher here in Portland. He's married to his beautiful bride, Allie, who just got accepted into med school.
Where? She got into residency.
A little school.
Tiny little school down south. Stanford University.
Stanford.
Yeah, so she's finished med school, is a doctor, going to be a doctor. I mean, going to get her doctorate in 2 months. And then we move in June to Stanford to do her residency.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so you know how a lot of guys say, I was thinking about this, a lot of guys say like, oh, I married up. Like, I think a lot of guys on your podcast have said that.
Right.
Oh, I married up. Like, I have tax files to prove that I've married up, dude. Like, she is...
Quite literally.
Quite literally better than me.
Well, not, I mean, she's shorter than you.
Right.
But
right.
other than that, every other category,
other way, yeah,
you have married up. Well, I mean, we could talk the whole time about Allie.
She's amazing.
Yeah. But let me finish your little introduction. I had like this great little introduction for you. Yeah. So you're married to Allie. You are also have written a bunch of stuff, and your writing has appeared in Christianity Today, Books and Culture, Relevant Magazine, Leadership Journal, Preaching Today, and all kinds of other stuff. And most recently, as of the day that this podcast will drop, you have a brand new book out.
I do, yeah. Distant God, Moody Publishers. Man, I'm so thrilled about this book. I'm excited to talk about it. It's taken me really, it's really been a long time, but really a year and a half of writing. And so I'm thrilled. I would be thrilled if anybody picked it up and read even part of it.
Well, I'm confident that they will after listening to your heart today. And they can pick it up everywhere, which is cool. Like wherever books are sold, basically.
Yeah,
including
Amazon.
Including Target.
Yeah, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, Powell's in Portland, if you're a Portland guy.
Yep.
So yeah, anywhere. Just
so awesome,
put it into the internet machine and they'll tell you where to get it.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Rad, dude. Well, I'm super excited to have you. You know, one thing that struck me as I've been reading your book, I've been every night as I've fallen asleep, it puts me to sleep. every night I've been reading the book, and I thought to myself last night, like, dude, you could have written about anything. When I was, we met when we were like 21, 22, right? We were younger and dumber than we are now.
Yes.
But I remember when I first met you thinking, dude, this is like one of the wisest guys. Like, you weren't like my normal peers, right? Like everyone else in my peer group, you know, we're all kind of like dumb, and you like kind of rose up And I'm like, man, this guy's like really wise. I remember like one of the first things I thought about you is how wise you were. And then I found out that's not true.
I'm a total fraud.
That stayed obviously true. And I remember thinking last night, like, you could have written about anything, and you could have written about anything well. And I know you have written a ton of stuff. You've had stuff published everywhere. But I'm curious, like, why the presence of God? Like, why this topic? Why distant God? What was it about this topic that really you said, you know what? Okay, I'm going to sit down and write a book on this.
Yeah, I was actually, it's funny you say that, because I was thinking about my love for writing. I'm an English major. I've always written. It's always been the way I process things. Even sermons as a pastor, it's a form of writing, right? So I was thinking about how I really could have written about anything, but I was thinking about how God has been so good to me and graced me in this way of, like, one of the only things I can really retain with information is the Bible. Like, I am terrible at remembering things. I'm terrible. I have a bad memory. My wife will tell you. I'll retell stories from the stage. She's like, like half of that happened, you know? And I'm like, really? In my memory, but for some reason, like, scripture and what God has taught me, stories from students have always stuck with me. And I think God, that's been the Holy Spirit, really. I really believe that. And so I wrote this book because, one, it kind of got a hold of me in the sense of, like, some of the ideas stuck more than other ideas stuck, to be honest. Yeah. But then really it came out of being a pastor. I mean, you've been a pastor, you've worked with people. How many times we sit with people and they ask that question of, like, man, God seems distant. He seems far away. Like, what do I do? Like, how come God seems far away? That is, like, the most common, especially with our generation, like, with a hyper sensational experiential generation, they have that question. And I always wanted a book for them. Like, I always wanted to be able to, after my conversation with them, like, hand them something and go, let's go through this together.
Yeah.
And I didn't find that. And so as a writer, I just kind of started writing. Started as a couple of articles that I was hoping to kind of, like, do, like, three-part article. And then it was just too big. And then I showed my wife and she was just like, I think this is your book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're talking, like, that is, like, the biggest question all the time. I feel far from God. I'm not feeling close to God anymore. That is such a subjective thing, right? It's like the feeling, I feel the words feel far from God. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all kinds of theologians that would tell you, you actually write about this in the book. Like, okay, what is this feeling we're talking about? Like, what, how would you define that? Like, what, the presence of God. Talk to us about that. When somebody says they're far from God, like, what are your theological thoughts? What is your, like, pastoral thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really where I felt like the book needed to start, was we needed a little bit of a theological correction as a generation. So in the book, I kind of talk about, when we talk about the presence of God, we have three different areas. One is his manifest presence. That's when he demonstratively shows up in scripture. Burning bush, when he speaks out of, you know, the thunder and the wind to Job, when Jesus is baptized, that's God's manifest presence. That's demonstrated in this major way. Then you have this general presence that theologians talk about, the fact that God is just always present everywhere. Where can I run from your spirit? Psalm 139. Jesus says, lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, at the end of his great commission, right? There's a way that God is always present. But the third kind of presence I'm discovering and I'm trying to pull out is something that that I call the relational presence of God, which is this idea that we can be just like, and this is father and son analogy, just like a father and a son, you know, can be in the same room together, but not really in the same room together. I've had awkward dinners with my dad, where you're in the same room together, you're in the same presence in some way, but you're not really present with one another. Or the teenage son fiddling with his phone while the father sits there trying to teach him something. And that's a way of being present, but not present. I really see that in scripture, and I also see that in my own experience with God. That's what people are talking about when they say, I feel far from God. They're talking about a dynamic of the presence of God. They're talking about the relational presence of God. That's not always, in my opinion, on track. It's not always the same way. Hmm. It's not expressed the same way. It fluctuates with us because we're human beings.
Yeah. Meaning that God, is what you're saying there, that God hasn't left. Keep unpacking that, because God hasn't left. It's just like that disconnect, relational disconnect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So go back to that analogy of the son fiddling with his phone, right? Or you think about a younger child wandering in the street while the father is like, no, you know, calling the son back. What are you doing in the street, right? The father is kind of present and there, right? He's at that dinner table looking at the son. He's on the sidewalk calling his son back, right? The father's there. It's the son that's kind of wandering, moving around, doing something, being interested in other things. And so Brother Lawrence, he's probably written the most important book on the presence of God. And there's this tiny little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. You've probably heard of it. It's probably been out there. People have read this book. It was written in the 17th century, not by him, but by people who thought he was just really wise, and they would come to him. And so people would write down his sayings. And his quote, it really directs my book a lot. He says, "The presence of God is directing your soul's attention to the fact that God is always present."
Wow.
This is this profound understanding that we need to constantly direct our soul's attention to the fact that our Father's here, that our God is near, present right now. We need to, the theologian Dallas Willard, he used to wake up every day and he used to put his feet on the floor and he would say, "God is with me." Like, he would just, that was his mantra every morning. Like, "God is here. God is with me." He would say something along those lines to remind himself that he lived in God's world and that God was near all the time. And so that's how the relational presence comes in. And that's what the whole book is trying to help us understand, is how do we direct our soul's attention? Yeah. You know, that's like, how do we get there?
Yeah. And how much of our 2016 instant culture, our instant generation, how much is that playing into this whole scenario?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you might have a better answer than me on that, because the 21st century thing is hard, because I know for a fact it's not something that's new, right? Like even Psalm 13:1 says, like, "How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me forever?" That was thousands of years ago.
Right.
Someone was feeling far from God.
Right.
So in a way, it's an ancient problem, but I think you're right. There's a level of distraction that we have here that completely, it's a new type of battle. I mean, I don't know. Don't you have to be like really disciplined with your phone,
totally,
with your children?
Totally. And I'm not.
And you're not. Okay.
Right.
Don't you have to be really disciplined when you're at dinner party or something to not check your phone?
Right.
I don't know about you. I hate it when people are looking at their phone while I'm talking to them.
Yep.
But then I do that too.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I think I hate when people are looking at their phone because I want to be looking at my phone. Do you know what I mean? It's such a weird thing. And so, I wonder how much that really plays into it. You know, but I'll tell you this. It's a unique challenge in the sense that the technology is so individualized that it isolates us in kind of a unique way, like away from things. Mm. And so, yeah, I think we have a rich battle with technology, the internet, and things like that with the presence of God. Personally, the way I battle that, I don't look at my phone or my computer before I look at the Bible. I just have that rule. Mm. Somebody told me a long time ago, like, seek the face of God before you seek the face of man.
Mm.
And that has stuck with me forever. Like, and that's something that, I think is important. Like, I don't know. I don't think my phone needs to be on right away.
Yeah.
Everything else can kind of wait. And honestly, it's 30 minutes or whatever.
Right.
But we need to do better work with that.
But part of what I heard you say there is that we can't just blame technology, because thousands of years ago, guys and gals were having the exact same issue.
Absolutely.
So what is it that you think is, like, what causes us, like, dig into the specifics here, what causes us to feel that sense of, I feel far from God?
Scripturally put, the word is sin. When we think about sin, and maybe when your listeners think about sin, we think about doing bad things. Think about doing things that are ungodly, immoral. But sin, really at its heart, is a disease. It's a virus. It's it's a rebellion that says, I don't need God. That, I mean, think about the first couple. Their sin was not eating, it wasn't eating a fruit. That was not, it wasn't the activity. It was what the activity did, right? It said something to God and to all of creation and to each other that they didn't want to be with God. They wanted to be like God. That's a commentator, John Salehammer, says that about Genesis 3, is that they sacrificed being with God to be like him. And we do the same thing. That is what sin is. And so I would rather choose for myself what I want to do whenever I want to do it all the time. That's rebellion. And that heart is what creates our distance with God. Like that idea that we want to make decisions for ourselves.
Yeah.
We want to call the shots. We want to raise our kids the way we want to raise our kids.
Yeah.
And we don't want God to tell us how to do that. We think we have great ideas for marriage. We think we have great ideas for society. And we don't really want to rely upon the Lord because he takes too long. And right. We can get this stuff done now. And that's all those things of those tiny little decisions where we are saying, I just want to be like a God. I don't want to join with him. He's too slow. He takes his time. He's too forgiving. I want to be a person of justice. I want to be a person of efficiency. I want to be a person of ambition. And when we do that, we don't understand that we're like separating ourselves from God in the same way the first couple did. And so it all goes back to sin. It's just, I take that word to mean like a really big thing.
Right.
I don't take that to just mean immoral behavior.
Yeah. You know, I had one guy tell me one time that when people come to him and say, you know, I just feel really far from God. I don't feel like I'm close to the Lord anymore. His number one question was, what unconfessed sin do you have in your life? And it always fantastic. Like it always just threw people off because they want like grace. They want like, you know, okay, you know, yeah, it's okay. Let's get you back in community and rub your back a little bit.
Yeah.
But he would just let his first question, what unconfessed sin do you have in your life?
Okay, that's amazing. So one of my chapters is on confession because that to me, I found that to be true with so many of my students, so many of my people, right? Like I said, this book came out of just talking with people in my church and realizing a lot of people don't understand that when they treat their students, for example, they would treat their parents so poorly. They would be dishonoring them. That is in direct against everything that scripture tells a child to do,
right?
Which is to respect and honor their parents. And I would ask them about that. How's your relationship with mom and dad? And they would go, they would look around like, did he even hear the question that I asked him? Like, I talked to him about God's presence here.
Right.
But dude, oh man, you're so right. And so one of the verses actually that I was thinking about driving over here and I was thinking about talking with you, with your listeners, is in 1 Peter 3:7, where Peter tells, he says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Yeah.
Okay. So what Peter just said there is that you and I will have a worse prayer life if we disrespect our wives.
Dude, last night I read that in your book. I read you say that. I'm like, wow, that's great. I read what you wrote there and dude, it was so convicting because you blatantly say your prayers may not be being heard by God. I'm like, okay, well, come on, Chris. There's gotta be more grace here, bud. Like okay, what?
There is, but the fact that Peter says that and then let's think about the Old Testament too. Like there's that famous passage about prayer in 2 Chronicles that says, if my people pray, humble themselves and pray, like, and call upon my name, I will answer them. But later it says, like, but if you continue in your stiff-necked ways, like, I will not answer.
Yeah.
And so there's actually times where God will not be responding to us in prayer. Because of our own sin that's unconfessed. And to your point, yeah, there is grace allowed. All we have to do, and this is why I have this chapter in there, all we have to do is confess it. Like we don't even need to make ourselves morally perfect. All we have to do, 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness. There's nothing that says you have to confess and then do something else. All you got to do is tell him.
Yeah.
All you got to do is tell your brother in your church, right? Yeah. Like, this is my sin that I'm dealing with. And I feel like men in particular, we have a lot of trouble with that because it's very humbling.
Yeah.
And we're not very emotional beings naturally.
Right.
And so we tend to try to disassociate and just go, okay, I'm just going to try to not do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to not yell at my wife. I'm going to try to not treat her disrespectfully. And in all that trying, I think we get mixed up with missing the point that all we really have to do is go to a brother in our church and say, man, I said this to my wife and I'm ashamed. We have to go to our wives and say, hey, what I said to you was disrespectful, dishonoring, and I don't want to be that man.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, will you forgive me?
Yeah.
You know, that's like magic in my opinion of like, all of a sudden we unlock the grace of God and the presence of God fills us in a fresh way.
Yeah. Dude, so many good bombs of truth right there. So if somebody comes to you and, you know, and they're sharing about how they feel distant from God, you're going to beat them up by telling them, well, you probably got sin. So let's deal with the sin.
With that.
Yeah. Which is good because it's not just the behavior, like just that overall, where are you trying to be God?
It's a heart.
And not allowing God to be God. But once they start to recognize that truth, then now what? Like, now, how do we start to get back into that sense that we feel the presence of God again? And one thing that I loved what you said in the book was, as kids growing up in church, we're kind of taught these like mountain high experiences and these low valley experiences. These are the two areas of life that we experience God, and we know that to be true. When we have suffering, we feel God, or when on those mountaintop experiences. But you said the long planes of faith.
Yeah.
I love that line, the long planes of faith, like the mundane life. So how do we get back to God's presence in that stuff?
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad you picked that out because I feel like that might be, you know, a lot of people listening to this might be in that season. And here's the thing. I actually think most of our life is in that season. Mm-hmm. Think about your life. Just think about all the 20 plus years you've lived. It's not like you're in a constant state of ups and downs. And actually, nor is the life of Scripture. I mean, the people in Scripture. Jesus Christ himself lived 30 years of ordinary existence, right? There's one verse, Luke 2:52, which summarizes like, I don't know, 20 years of his life. And it just says, the boy Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge in the favor of God and man. And then the next scene is his baptism.
Right.
I mean, that's so much life, but he was living in the long planes of faith. And so that's what I try to encourage people with. And it really starts with just an encouragement and an acknowledgement. Hey, you've had the mountaintop experiences with God, where things are going great and you sense his presence. You're at a retreat, you're at a camp, you're in a worship service. You had a moment, you know, on vacation with your wife where it was like, man, God is so good, right? We have those moments.
Yeah.
And like you said, the valleys, but really it starts with an acknowledgement to go, maybe you're just on the long plane right now and you're driving on that highway and it's like, man, you're going 85 miles an hour, but it feels like you're just going, you're crawling, right? And so much of spiritual life is a crawl. And so acknowledging that is a big deal. But the other thing is recognizing that when you're walking in those long planes of faith, God himself is doing all of the things God has always done for all of eternity, despite your circumstances. Like, it's not like when you were in the suffering or on the mountaintop, God was like somehow operating the world differently. It's just a matter of perspective to pull yourself back and go, no, God is accomplishing a hunt. As John Piper says, he says, God's doing 10,000 things right now. You're aware of three of them.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And when you're in the long planes of faith, you have to remind yourself that God is up to things you are not aware of. And so asking him to show you where it is that you need to have eyes to see. And then I think shortly, the last thing I would say is that we need to be confident in the connection between our own obedience and God's presence. Jesus says in John 15 that if you love me, you will obey my commandments and you will abide in my love.
Mm.
And I use that in the book to help us understand that when we obey God, God is with us.
Mm.
Jesus says, go and make disciples, baptize them in all nations, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Like when you're making disciples, when you're obeying the commands of Christ, when you're studying the Sermon on the Mount and living that out, when you're giving to the poor, you are doing what God has asked you to do, and God is with you, whether you feel it or not.
Yeah.
And so some of the times what I have to do with people is check and go, man, you're walking faithfully right now, and life is just mundane. But let me just actually straight up tell you, no matter how you feel, God is with you. And it's been this new thing as I've written this book, this new thing I'm actually doing in pastoral counseling, where I will look people in the eye and go, God is with you. Like, I just need to remind them. I was even having coffee with a guy this morning who was in a great spot in life, but I just said, man, hey, God is with you right now. Yeah. God is present with you and walking alongside you, because this guy I was meeting with this morning was just walking faithfully, like loving people, giving generously. It was like God is with that guy, whether he feels it or not.
Right.
And sometimes we just got to go, I may not be feeling like God is near, but I know he's near because I'm walking right alongside the Father. Like, you think about when your boy is walking right alongside you, or your daughter's walking right alongside you. Like, that moment of walking near to someone, there's so much joy and possibility in that. And sometimes us as children, we just need to look back up at our dad and go, our Heavenly Father, go, man, he's here. Hmm. He's with me. I'm walking hand in hand with him.
Hmm.
You know, and just knowing that. That's what faith is, right? It's knowing what is unseen. Hebrews 11:1.
So good, dude. Last thoughts. One thing, if you're sitting down with a dad, husband who's just exhausted, they feel like they are in that just dry, that's a common church saying. I'm just in a dry season.
Yeah.
Just final thoughts for them.
Yeah, I would encourage them. Psalm 139, like, where can I run from your spirit? If I go to the highest of the heavens or the depths of the deep, your spirit is with me. You are always with me. I think the biggest learning I've had is that God is with us. God exists in this earth in a massive way. And for us to be pointed back to that, that would be a big thing, is just remembering that. Like, I feel like we just forget.
Yeah.
Honestly, like you said, with distractions, 21st century, all this stuff, is like, what, we just get busy and we forget. So maybe just pulling back and remembering. And then what I would say too is that the good news of the kingdom of God is that God himself, in his ever-present nature, has made himself available to everyone and all people, no matter what. So even when we talk about sin, we talk about that verse in 1 Peter, we talk about these tough things, I would also really want men especially to know that when Adam hid in the garden and covered himself up in shame, God sought after him and he said, where are you?
Yeah.
We often are saying, God, where are you? But I would say to some of your listeners, man, God is asking you, where are you?
So good.
And he's calling you out of hiding, and he's calling you out of shame, because he's not afraid of sin. We think God is somehow afraid of it, but he's not. He wants to pull you out of hiding into his presence. And that's where I would say, don't hide. Like, just don't hide. These, you know, the men in your churches and in our communities, we get better and better every year at hiding. And I would just say, come out of hiding. Just like, man, God's love and his presence is not some restricted thing. He's available and ready, and wants to walk aside you, and his presence is this incredible resource for us today. And I think Christians should take advantage of it,
like,
every minute of it.
I have like a million other, that's not true, that's a huge exaggeration actually. I have like six other thoughts that I that came out of what I've read in your book and loving it. But we've hit our time. And so that's a great way of telling the listeners, like, you need to go pick up this book today. It just came out today. If you've enjoyed any of this, which I know you have, because everyone has felt can relate to this topic, go pick up the book, Distant God, Chris Nye, chrisnye.co.
Yes.
Is the best way to, how can people get connected with you? And you have Twitter accounts, MySpace pages, things like that.
My website, chrisnye.co, has all my social media stuff. But yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I like social media.
Yeah.
So I'm all over it.
Sweet, man. Well, let me pray for the people listening to this. And thank you so much, dude, for being on.
Yeah.
It's good to be with you. Every time I'm with you, I feel closer to Jesus. True story.
Man, thanks, you.
Man. Yeah. Lord, I pray that you would use the way that you have wired Chris and the way that you've given him the ability to articulate such good truth, that you're using him, Spirit, to remind us of these the truths that you taught while you were here. I pray that you would use the words that he said today to draw men and the women who are listening to back to yourself. God, that we would have the guts to come out of hiding and confess sin and to repent and do that because we know that your grace is there, God, that you're in the garden in the midst of our sin saying, "Where are you?" Which just points to your character, Lord, and how awesome you are. So God, I pray that you'd give us the guts to do it. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.